We'll be reading the Lord's word from the book of Ephesians, 4th chapter, verses 1 through 16. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one God, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also had descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you in this place, God. Lord, we continue to magnify you, just giving you all praise, honor, and glory. For, oh God, you alone are worthy of the praise, God. We praise you, Lord, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, oh God, because your name alone is worthy to be praised. Oh God, we thank you, Father, for all that you've done, all that you'll continue to do, oh God. Hallelujah to you, God. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord God. Lord, you're welcome in this place. Hallelujah to you, God. Lord, we bless your name, oh God. Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord God. We bless thee, oh God. Hallelujah to you, God. Worthy of all our praise. Hallelujah.
Worthy is the name.
The name you've exalted above all names. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Worthy is the name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you're so welcome in this place.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, we lift you up, oh God. Oh, sing unto our God. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Beloved, I believe we all have something to be thankful for. And as we continue to sing, we just want to give him thanks.
Thank you, Jesus.
For all that he's done. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, just look back over your life for just a moment.
Thank you, Jesus.
See all that God has done and where he's brought you from.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, then where would we be?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. And we'll bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. To my spiritual formation student and class, this is the day. And we shall. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together, the name that he's truly exalted above all names, the name that every knee will bow in heaven and earth, that he is Lord God Almighty. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but beloved, there was a time in my life where I searched all over and still couldn't find nobody. Yeah, but I met a man named Jesus. Hallelujah, and he saved me. Amen, gave me a new life. A new walk, a new talk, a new attitude, a new heart. Amen. We thank God for cardiologists. But amen, but would you need a true heart transplant? Amen. I know a man named Jesus. Amen. That will give you a new heart. Amen. I want to thank God, amen, for this music ministry. This ensemble, praise the Lord. Amen. For blessing us as only God can. And for that, we give him praise. We thank God for each of you, because one thing that we don't realize oftentimes in the church, that if it was not for those in the pew, we would not need a pulpit. So hallelujah. So we give God praise and thank him for you on this day. Father in heaven, we just continue to bless you, God, and give you all praise, honor, and glory. Lord God, you've given me assignment, Lord God, through our beloved dean. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that he hears from you. So, Lord God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will just be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus, God, that covers us, God, from our sins and anything that the enemy tries to come against, God. We thank you that we have the victory through Jesus. And it's in his mighty name that we pray. Amen and hallelujah. I'll ask y'all to forgive me for my voice right now. It's not the first time that my voice has been this way when I've called to preach. Amen. So I'll just tell it to sit down. So the Lord God can do what only God can do in the name of Jesus. He's so worthy to be praised. Beloved, we've been given the word of God out of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And as we talk today, in order for us to really get to Ephesians 4, then we'll have to see what Paul has already said to the church at Ephesus. He begins by telling them about their spiritual blessings that we already have in Christ Jesus in chapter 1. He highlights that believers, that we are chosen by God, that we've been redeemed through Jesus' blood and sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul prays that the church will have wisdom and revelation to understand the power that God has given us and the hope of his calling. Chapter 2, Paul reminds the church of their past, their life of sin, and how they were dead in their transgression. He emphasizes that salvation is by grace through faith, not in works, and no man can boast. Lord, have mercy. We thank God for grace and mercy. So he explains to the church that the wall, the barriers between Jews and Gentiles have been broken down, and now there is one humanity. He describes the believers as being built together to become a dwelling place for God. Beloved, we are the temples of the Most Holy Spirit. It's still beyond my understanding, but I believe and trust the word of God, how a holy God will come live in the sinful heart of man. Well, he don't come to leave us as we are. He comes to transform us into the very image of his son, Jesus the Christ. Beloved, we understand that that is not an easy thing for us, but it's not hard for God. So God has given us the power and the authority to be his body. Then we find in chapter 3 that Paul talks about the mystery of Christ, which is that the Gentiles are now co-heirs with Israel and share in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's what you call good news. The gospel of Jesus' death and also his resurrection. And that gives us the power. He prays for them that they may grasp the magnitude of Christ's love that he has shown for us and the fullness of God. I love it how Paul goes about and always gives us these blessings, and it gives us the excitement of being children of God. And then he turns around and forward and says, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. Now he's urging us and admonishing us that now we have to walk in this gift that God has given us. Well, Paul, why did you have to go there? Now you're admonishing me, telling me that I need to be able to understand all that God has done for us, and now I need to walk in it. If any man is in Christ, they are a new creation, and all things are passed away, and they are of God. And so he's calling us to come to this new way and this new life that's already been paid for, and it's exciting. So he's urging us to walk in this manner. In other words, we cannot remain the way that we were prior to a man receiving Jesus into our lives. He's raised us from these transgressions. The price has been paid. So now our conduct must be different. Now we must live up to all that Paul has said that we are, bringing a sense of balance to what the Lord God has done for each and every one of us through his death and resurrection. Worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And I know there are times that we say that our relationship with God is personal, and maybe it's not just talking to us as a church, but there's no way to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and it does not impact others all around you. So we've been called, and individually and as a church, to now to walk in this new way that he's given us. We're no longer dead in our trespasses. Our sins have been forgiven, and now we have new life. Well, how is this life empowered? Even though the text may not specifically say the Spirit, there's no way I can be anything like Christ without the power of the Spirit. So I've just talked about me, now I'm going to talk about you. Now there's no way that you can be all that God has called you to be, amen, without the power of the Spirit. Now, we're not going to go back to Acts 19:2. I've not even heard that there be a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism were you baptized in? That was just of John. But there is a Holy Spirit if we believe in the power of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we try to leave him out? Well, if we're going to have any revelation of Jesus, you must have the power of the Spirit living and dwelling down on the inside. I know some may say, but my denomination don't believe this, my denomination don't believe that. But just stay with what the Word of God says, and you really will be all right. So he goes on to tell us, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. With all humility and gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now I have to have something that's going to help me to be all that Paul is saying I need to be. In other words, in order for me to walk in this new way, then I have to have something. It says humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. So let's do our confession today. Now, I can love you, my brother Dom, But I don't know about Sam. You know, Dom, you're nice, but Sam is not quite so nice. But the condition of love has nothing to do with the person being nice or not. Why? Because now we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I can love if I'm willing to submit myself to the power of God's word and God's spirit. So with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, amen, and even if I have a complaint and I'm right in my complaint, that still does not give me a right not to love. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And I can remember my wife and I were going through some challenging times, praise the Lord, and she allows me to share to a degree some things, and there were no curse words or anything like that. She was saying something to me, and I was saying something to her. Have y'all ever been in those type of situation where you just want to have the last word? Yes, it's confession time. Amen, and I just wanted to have the last word, Dr. Park. I really did. And the Holy Spirit silenced me. I turned and I looked for the words. And the only thing that came out was, that's not of me. It wasn't about right or wrong. It's about, am I grieving the power of God's Spirit that's living and dwelling down on the inside of me? And so he helps us to understand also is that we get ensnared by the words of our mouths. Let's talk less and listen more. Praise the Lord. And then he says to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, we need to make every effort to be able to maintain what God has given us and we didn't give to ourselves. It was God who sent the power of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of the Lord in the church that brings the unity. And he says, I've given you everything that you need. I've shown you the way through humility and gentleness and patience. Now I'm saying to you, now you have to work at maintaining it. Lord, how in the world can that be done? Lord, you see all of the people that you've given me in this church. Lord, you see all of the people in my household. And he says to us that you're going to maintain it through the bond of peace. We've made the peace with God. We have the peace of God, and now the peace of God is going to help maintain that unity that God has given us through the Spirit for the church. Isn't that interesting? How the Lord has given us everything that we need to be all that he's called us to be, and he tells us exactly, he gives us the blueprint how it should be done. But we need to sometime be in the garden every now and then where we say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And beloved, as we are doing this, then we'll find that we are a dwelling place of God. The psalmist says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And you know what that's like? Yeah, that unity is saying to us, I don't have to have my will. I don't have to have my way. Why? Because when we come together in the power of God, we're praying, Lord God, we want you to be glorified in us. We want you, oh God, when the world looks at the church, they'll see that we serve the true and the living God. Paul goes on to tell us as he's bringing together this oneness and this unity, that there is one body and one spirit. Just as you're called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's one. To God be the glory for that oneness. And he's calling us to be able to grow and grow in the revelation and understanding that there is one body. We can choose to try to separate if we want to, but that's contrary to the word. You're my brothers and you're my sisters. And we've been engrafted into the family of God, one humanity, not that we deserve any of it. Because what we deserve, Jesus took it upon himself, and we deserve separation from God and we deserve the death. But God says, I'm a God of life and I've given you life and I've given it to you more abundantly. Show the world, regardless of what we're seeing going on, that we are one in Christ Jesus. We're one in the power of God's Spirit. And yes, we are dwelling together in unity. It's the reality of the power of God. He says, but grace. Oh, I know there's not a comma here, but when you've had some experiences in life, and you know that it was nobody but God, as Paul says, but God and his mercy, but God that I didn't get what I deserved to get, but God made a way where there seemed to have been no way, but God brought healing and restoration to a marriage, but God touched my body and brought healing, but God allowed me to sleep at night when my mind was all over the place, when I didn't know how I was going to make it, but God, Lord, have mercy. Amen. But grace was given to each of us. Lord, have mercy. We thank God for the power of grace. I don't have to be envious. I don't have to be jealous of those that can sing and play the piano. I don't have to be jealous of those, amen, that can preach and teach. I don't have to be jealous or envy of anybody, because I understand that whatever gifts you may have, they came from the same Father and the same God. And he says it was according to the measure of Christ's gift. It was given to us. Therefore, he says that when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Turn to your neighbor and say, he gave gifts to men. Ah! And he didn't give the gifts based upon anything that we may seek. He didn't give the gifts based upon the degrees and upon the walls. And he didn't give the gifts based upon your heritage. He didn't give the gift based upon male or female. He gave the gifts, and we're going to see that those gifts had a purpose beyond all our understanding. Lord, have mercy. That he gave the gifts, and he qualified them. You see, there are some things that we want and we desire, but we don't qualify for. Those sororities and fraternities. Let's see if you meet the qualifications. Ah, but the Lord says, I have a plan for you that you know not of. And he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. And that was the purpose of his giving. Hallelujah to you, Lord. You gave them, O God, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Sometimes we find ourselves exalting one gift or one office above another, but not God. Sometimes we may think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But in the offices God calls us to, he calls us to a place of humility, one where we will serve others and that people will see that it's not about the titles or the positions. It's all about what God is calling us to do and for God's purpose. He says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, so that we can mature to manhood and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. In other words, we need one another. I need you, and you need me. We're all a part of God's family. I won't hurt you with words of my mouth, but I'll lift you up. Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, other than that which is edifying to the hearer, because we are a dwelling place of God's presence and God's Spirit. And the Lord is doing a mighty work. The Lord God is not finished with us yet. Oh, beloved, in the name of Jesus, let's not spend so much time in trying to figure out whether the Lord is still calling people into the work of ministry. Let us not spend so much time in saying that, young lady, there's no way for you to be called in ministry. And young lady, you don't have to say anything to them. Just stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. God knows what he's calling, and God knows that he has a purpose beyond our understanding. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're able to say, Lord, I don't even know about the calling on my life. But Lord, here I am, send me, God. Lord God, if you're looking for a vessel, oh God, that's open to you, Lord, use me, Lord God, in ways that nobody else can use me, Lord God. Lord God, if you want me to go on the highways and byways of life, Lord, here I am, Lord, send me, God. Lord God, if you want me to help somebody to understand that we serve a Savior that can save and give life and give it more abundantly, here I am, Lord, send me. If you want to know if God can still open the blinded eyes and set the captives free, Lord, I can tell you that he's able to do, the Bible says, exceedingly and abundantly, above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that works down on the inside of us. Oh, yes, we're dwelling together in unity. We have one spirit, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he alone is the one that's worthy to be praised. Oh, beloved, I can see beyond what the natural eyes can see. God gives us discernment of good and evil, and we can boldly declare that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. God has started something in your life, and he's the same God that will finish it until the day of redemption. The text says that you've been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Oh, yes, we are unified in the body of Christ. But, beloved, it's going to cost us something. We're going to have to learn to lay down our lives and understand that it's not about us, but it's all about you, God. We have to say, as Paul said, that I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but the Lord Jesus lives down on the inside of me. I can even see in the Word of God where Paul is saying to other churches, you got to put off the old and put on the new. You have to be all that God has called us to be. Amen. Many times we say, Lord, I want to be saved. But, beloved, do we tell the Lord God that we want him to be Lord as well? Sometimes we accept him so that we can have a ticket into heaven. But be mindful, beloved, because the Word says not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven other than those that do what my Father has called you to do. Paul says, now it's time to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. You cannot accept the very fact that Paul says in Ephesians 1 that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you've been adopted into the kingdom of God, and go on to live the way you want to live. Oh no, beloved, he says that he calls so that you can decrease and so that God can increase. I hear you saying, but you don't understand all that I've gone through. Yeah, and you're so right about that, because I didn't go to the cross for you, but Jesus did. The sins that you have committed and the things that you will still commit, your sins, your thoughts, your word, and your deeds, the Lord knows all about them, beloved. We cannot hide from God. We may be able to fool everybody else, but we cannot fool the God that we serve. Amen. Beloved, we thank God that he has called us together in unity. Oh, yes, he has. He's called, it doesn't matter. He's called professors into a place of unity. He's called students into a place of unity. He's called classrooms into a place of unity. He's called homes into a place of unity. Many times you wonder why there's so much strife going on within the household. Could it be because we don't have the humility to be able to be silent? Could it be that we don't have the gentleness when we speak and we just yell even at the dogs? The dogs even know, the puppies, the pets in the house even know when your personality is off somewhat. They don't just come run to you, amen, when you come in the house fussing and doing all sorts of things. Even the dogs have sense enough to go into another room. Come on, somebody. Yes, the Lord is calling us to a place to stand up for Jesus, to be all that God has called us to be, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Yes, we have a whole lot of things that's going on into the world today. But Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn, but I came to give life and give it more abundantly. The evangelists that are in the house, that's each and every one of you, we need to start telling somebody about Jesus, letting them know that he is the way. Recently, I met a young man, and he said that he was not in the church because of church hurt. I've heard that about 3 to 5 times within the last 2 or 3 months. But I had to help him to understand that the church is nothing but a hospital of broken people looking for a Savior named Jesus, that we're going to wound each other every now and then. But the Bible says that if you've been hurt or wounded, go to your brother and talk to him. Let him know what they've done. And when you're in the body of Christ, you learn to love and to bear with one another, as Paul says in the text. That even though you may be right, show them some love. Let them know that they're in the right place at the right time. Sometimes we come in the ER, in the hospital, which means I need emergency help. I don't have time to talk. I just need somebody to help me. And sometimes when we go through the ER, we find ourselves still having to go to a room because there's still work to be done. Oh, beloved, you have wounded people sitting right next to you. But we've learned to master the smile. We've learned to say, I'm okay. But the Lord says we need each other, that we may grow to be who God has called us to be, grow to maturity and manhood in the name of Jesus and Christ being the head. Today, we do dwell in a place of unity. But we have to yield. We have to let God be God. We don't want to just talk the talk. We want to live it for the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we continue to bless thee, O God, and give you all praise. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Help us, God, to speak the truth in love. Help us to grow in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint, it is equipped. When each part is working properly, Father, in the name of Jesus, then the body will grow and be all that you've called it to be, Father. Lord, we love you. We continue to magnify you, just giving you all praise, honor, and glory. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Father.
For Lord God, that you inhabit the praises of your people. Yeah. You dwell among us, God.
Yes, God.
Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Save us, and we shall be saved. Yeah. For this is our praise.
Yes,
and it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus.
Amen.